You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody's got a twinkle in their eye out on the rural route. Granny's in the kitchen cooking up a storm, fire in the fireplace cozy and warm. It must be Christmas time down south, hitching up the wagon, my daddy and me.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the night show. We're getting into our main event right now, this Saturday evening, December the 12th. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in the studio tonight by Keith Alexander. We're live, unheard, unrehearsed, and uncensored.
Unbossed and unballed.
Red hot and rolling. We could keep going, but we've got to get down to business with Michael Cushman making his debut appearance on our show. We're very excited about that. Michael Cushman is the author of the recently published book entitled Our Southern Nation, Its Origin and Future. It has received favorable reviews from academics and activists in Europe and North America and is available through Arctos or on Amazon.com. Cushman is a South Carolinian, Anglican, and Southern nationalist. He studied history in college, taught English in Europe for 4 years before studying teaching in graduate school. He's been politically active on the right since the 1990s and has organized numerous demonstrations throughout the South against third world immigration and in favor of Southern independence. Mr. Cushman was also recently banned from entering the United Kingdom by the supposedly conservative government over there for blog posts and speeches in which he opposed homosexual marriage, non-Western immigration, and criticized the NAACP. Doesn't take much to get you.
Yeah, what controversy.
You're right. A former chairman of the South Carolina League of the South, he now spends time with his family, working, and writing. He also runs the website southernfuture.com, southernfuture.com. Michael Cushman, great to have you with us tonight. This interview's been a long time in the making.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be on your show.
As we all often say and always mean with guests like you, the pleasure is entirely ours. And we're having you on tonight to talk about your book, Our Southern Nation. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks on this show. What's the book about and what motivated you to write it?
Well, it's several years into making. It started, Griffin, a friend of mine, a friend of yours, he and I were writing post back and forth on our websites about the origins of the South, and the deeper we dug into that, the more interesting it got. And finally, I felt like, you know, both Brad and I felt like we had to write a book about this. And so it really came from a blog post on Occidental Descent and on my old website, Southern Nationalist Network. And based on that, then over the last year, I put together a lot of those ideas and spent most of that year getting footnotes together, because I knew if you're going to write a book like this, that's this controversial, everything you say in it has to be documented. And so that's what really took most of my time. But anyhow, that's how the book came to be.
Break down the argument, if you would, Michael. And you're right, it is heavily footnoted, lots of great references. But you're talking about the origins of the South. So often, as I said earlier in the first hour, when you think about the South, you think perhaps of the Confederate years or perhaps the antebellum era slightly before that. But you predate that by a great deal in this book.
A couple of centuries, actually. This is Keith Alexander, Mr. Cushman. And I actually read your book. It's a great book. And I'm basically going to be the one interviewing you tonight. But go ahead and tell us about that, okay?
Well, excellent. I'm glad you got a chance to read it, and it's great to talk with you, Keith. The argument of the book is basically, well, the question that I seek to answer, I lay out that in the first chapter, and that is, you know, after after all this time of people moving around on the North American continent, of mass immigration, and of a centralized government, at least here and since 1865, you know, why is it that the South is still distinct? And why is it the political other, so to speak, in U.S. politics? I mean, why are we singled out, you know, in the media for scorn and hatred? And, you know, why are we different after all this time?
Well, there's a great tradition of that. And there's a great tradition of that, and you point that out in great detail. We are the perennial other of America. We're the other America. We are the inferior America, the less intelligent, the less moral, the less sophisticated. We lack savoir faire. I'm reminded. So they say. Yeah. Well, that's the way we're portrayed by the mainstream media, entertainment, and news media in America. And it reminds me of an episode from my childhood. I remember when I was a child, I just loved Jerry Lewis. I thought he was the funniest guy in the world. Until he was on the Johnny Carson show early in its run, and this Jewish guy with a sixth grade dropout, saying that whenever he took a transcontinental flight over flyover country, which is basically the South, he wanted to know when his plane was flying over Mississippi so he could be sure to use the bathroom. Showing the typical scorn that they had in those days, and which persists to this day. But actually, what you point out is that the South, see, everything is in the framework of the United States with its current borders. You know, New England, the source of everything good in the South, the source of everything wretched. But basically, we arose out of a golden circle civilization that was more or less centered in Barbados. Explain that to the listeners, if you would, please.
Right. Well, I argue text of America, then the South is the political other. And things that our inclinations, our culture, it doesn't make much sense. Our politics, we're always going to be on the outside. But if you view the South not as the South, but as the North, if you view us from the point of view of a civilization rather than sense, then everything falls into place. Then our norms and our politics, they make sense. And so, you know, if you look at the origin of the plantation civilization in the Western Hemisphere, it basically began with the Portuguese founding Brazil and starting a civilization, plantation culture there, and it spread up through the Caribbean, and then it spread to South Carolina in 1670, and it spread throughout the South. Now, the political South had begun before that with Virginia, but the plantation culture really got started in a big way with the founding of South Carolina, and that spread throughout the South, and there was more or less a common civilization that stretched from Maryland all the way down to northeastern Brazil. And throughout that region.
Well, that's very interesting, and we're going to follow up on that after these words from our sponsors.
Much more with Michael Cushman. He's with us for the full hour. We're just scratching the surface. Stay tuned, folks. It's going to get a lot more in depth.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
By now in New York City, there's snow on the ground. And out in California, the sunshine's falling down. Maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in light. And in Atlanta, Georgia, there's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie.
It is snowing in the Christmas in Dixie. There's nowhere I'd rather be. And here with you tonight, and our Merry guest, Michael Christmas Cushman, author of Our Southern Dixie. Nation, Its Origins and Future. And as we continue on with Mr. Cushman for the remainder of this hour, we're going to talk about both the origins of the South and indeed its future. Just one quick question, Mike, before we get back into the meat and potatoes of the book. Has the book been listed as a hate group yet?
I'm waiting for that to happen.
Well, it really should be. You know, a book can be a hate group, too.
Yeah, that's validation in our opinion. Michael, you had mentioned in your book that the Golden Circle was a model for the South and the American South and its culture and its plantation system, and that this had its origins in Venetian and Genoese colonization of the Levant and then spread to the Atlantic Islands from the Iberian Peninsula countries of Portugal and Spain to the Azores and the Canary Islands and things like that, and then was brought to the Caribbean. Now, when we talk about the Southern plantation culture, everybody automatically thinks about cotton. But cotton really wasn't king until after the invention of the cotton gin, right around the turn of the 1800s to the 1900s. Before that, it was sugar cane, and the alcohol they made from it called rum. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And in the low country of South Carolina, the first big cash crop was rice. So in different places of this civilization, you had different cash crops, but the basic structure of society was more or less the same.
Okay. Well, tell us something about, you know, the South is supposed to be the inferior and the impoverished part of America, but it wasn't always that way, was it?
No, actually, if you go back to, and this is part of the revolutionary idea of the Golden Circle and this sort of thinking, if you go back to our golden age, period, it's not under the U.S. Constitution. It's before we ever made the mistake of creating the Union and joining with a bourgeois civilization in the mid-Atlantic states and the Northeast. But if you go back before that, then the wealth of the New World was centered in the South and the Caribbean. And some of the biggest cities were in the South and the Caribbean, definitely the center of much of the culture of the New World was there as well. And it was just a far more wealthy society than anything that New England could produce.
Well, you know, I had always heard that right on the eve of the Civil War, the wealthiest state in the Union was Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not, but there was a lot of wealth in this plantation society. On the other hand, New England was basically a dumping ground for religious crackpots. I think that would not be too strong a statement, that was supposed to be supported by subsistence farming. The mother country didn't look to them to bring much wealth back to the mother country. They just looked at it like the French government looked on the Polynesian islands after the revolution of 1871. The communards, the French communists, were all exiled to Polynesia to get them out of the country. And I guess religious crackpots in England and other parts of Europe, they didn't have to be exiled there. They wanted to go, but that's what New England was set up for primarily. And they tried to set up another subsistence colony for criminals in Georgia, but that didn't work too well, right?
That's right. Georgia was founded on a utopia model where slavery was banned. The idea was to create farmers and or small white farmers, and that just did not work at all. And just to the north of Savannah, over across the river in South Carolina, you had a booming society with a quickly growing population. It was the wealthiest of the colonies in North America and the English colonies. And so it was a model that Georgia adopted after the utopian kind of egalitarian society that they attempted failed. And you're also right about the religious aspect of this as well. New England was founded by religious radicals, people of a very low church mentality, but who rejected order and hierarchy in the church. They rejected tradition in the church, and the South was not. All the southern colonies were Anglican, even East and West Florida. When they were British, they were Anglican. But when you go outside of the South to the North, they were not. They were religious radicals, and that carried through to their politics as well.
Well, you pointed out in your book that in other parts of the Golden Circle, just like in the American South, hierarchical society and a hierarchical church, like the Anglican Church was the dominant church in the North American southern colonies, and in the rest of them, it was either Anglicanism or Roman Catholicism, another hierarchical church, right?
Exactly. And you could see this also in, you know, even in the back country of the South, which tended not to be Anglican, there was still a reverence for tradition, for traditional Christianity, that you did not find in the Northeast. These were not religious radicals in the back countries of the South. So even where you got into Baptist areas, Presbyterian areas, they had more in common in their overall religious outlook with the coastal South than they did with New England.
Well, you know, the Presbyterian church was kind of a mixture between low church and high church. It was like the state religion of Scotland, just like the Anglican Church was the state religion of England. I know that because my mother was a war bride, an English woman, and that's the reason I grew up an Episcopalian, because that was the nearest thing to the Anglican Church here in America. Now, you can't stress the fact that New England was a dumping ground, that the mother country looked at them with less favor than they did the southern colonies, because the southern colonies actually made money for them. The the New England was basically a safety valve to put nut jobs into. And shortly after the Revolution, the American Revolution, the religiosity of New England veered away from Puritanism into Transcendentalism, Unitarianism, Universalism, and basic liberalism of every type. They seemed to lead the pack in abandoning traditional Christianity as their faith, and they're still leading the pack at that today.
Absolutely. You know, that these were religious quacks. They came here to found a theocracy, and one based on very radical anti-traditionalist ideas. And, you know, that would have been fine for their area, but unfortunately, you know, we made the terrible mistake of forming a union with those people in which we were a minority.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more with yours truly, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, and our featured guest of the evening, Michael Cushman. Check him out at southernfuture.com. We're talking about his book, Our Southern Nation, Its Origin and Future. We're talking about the origin now. What's the future going to hold for the South? We'll ask Michael that and much more as this hour rolls on here at the Political Cesspool.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Help make America great again. Proverbs 29:12 says, "If a ruler listens to falsehoods, all his officials will be wicked." Our rulers have listened to falsehoods for 50 years. The 33rd Psalm states, "Blessed is the nation whom the Lord has chosen as his heritage." God's chosen people in America is fast being replaced by other peoples because of the falsehoods our leaders have listened to for these last 50 years. Falsehoods of diversity is our strength, and multiculturalism is good. Donald Trump will stop this dispossession. Join the Trump Super PAC. Call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586. Or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Jackson, Mississippi, to Charlotte, Carolina, and all across the nation. It's a peaceful Christmas time. Christmas and Dixie. It's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. What a great show. We're actually looking, you know, we bring to the studio with us our Confederate flag that was created for us by Brian in Arkansas in honor of our 10-year anniversary. It's the Confederate flag as you know it to be, or I guess it would technically be the naval ensign. And then it has there, in addition to the flag you know and love, the political cesspool, no retreat, no surrender, no apologies, in each of the four
quadrants.
We bring it with us every time we go to work here on the radio. It inspires us and helps. Well,
I'm glad you can keep professional. I've become discombobulated. Eddie, by the way, has just come into the studio, and I wouldn't quite call it a Speedo, but he's wearing short shorts here in the middle of December.
Well, it's warm,
and bopping around the, reminds me of that AC/DC song, you know, lock up your daughters, lock up your wives, lock up your houses, and run for your lives.
Well, we actually had Eddie describe the appearance of Elizabeth Hasselbeck last week, and so if you missed that, Keith, that's in the third hour.
Well, I can see what's fueling all this.
No. All right. So anyway, all right. Back to work, guys. Come on, work must intrude. I know it's festive time of year, but we're talking to Michael Cushman about a very serious book. All kidding aside, our Southern nation, its origins and future. We're talking a little bit about the origin, and there's only so much you can do in commercial talk radio. There's so much more in the book that you just are going to have to read for yourself, but this book really covers stuff that I think most people are going to be unfamiliar with, but it does it with certainly historical fact on its side. Michael, we're going to spend the last segment of this hour after the next commercial break talking about the future of the South, as you may see it to be. But before we do that, before I turn you back over to Keith, I'd like to ask you, if there's anything that you would like to share with the audience, when one reads this book, what do you think the biggest takeaway would be? What would you want them to take from this book more than anything else?
Well, if people reoriented their thinking and began to see their own people as a distinct culture and nation in the ethno-cultural sense of that word, and they began looking south for their founding fathers rather than north, and they began looking south historically for their inspiration for the future, then I would consider it a great success.
Well, Michael, this is Keith Alexander. Of course, the real intellectuals among the founding fathers were Southerners, primarily Virginians, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, people like this, the Anti-Federalists and the Federalist side.
And Patrick Henry, of course, as many of them did, had a descendant that fought for the South. No surprise there.
But I guess what you just said begs the question, should the South be a separate nation, in your opinion, from the rest of the United States? You know, the same divide exists today that led to the Civil War. We've had it at the very latest since the end of the era of good feelings in the corrupt bargain debate of 1824, and its present manifestation is red state, blue state America. And right. Red state America includes the interior West, and people say, why is that? Well, that's because it was populated, the interior West was populated for the most part by disaffected Southerners fleeing Reconstruction. I've heard the West called the South without a race problem. Now, what do you think about, should we, based on every traditional definition of a nation, which is people with a common culture and a common outlook and common heroes and stuff like this, should we be a separate nation, two separate nations, the North and or the Red State America and Blue State America today?
Well, you know, I would say that we already are. We already are a separate nation, but we're a nation without a state. And there's a lot of
great way to. I don't mean to interrupt you, Michael, but you worded that greatly. Please continue.
Yeah, we're not alone in that sense. You know, the Kurds are they're Indo-European people who live in the Middle East. There's tens of millions of them, but they don't have a country of their own, a state of their own. They are a nation, though. They view themselves as a separate people. They're distinct from the people around them. And we are, too. You can look at political maps, cultural maps. There's so many religious maps. There's so many ways that you can look at the United States, and you can tell precisely from polling data and these demographic informations exactly where Southerners live. And where we dominate, things are different than where we don't dominate. And the sad reality is that the future of the South is the demise of our people if we don't do something. The future of the South looks like the Black Belt right now. The Black Belt of the South used to be a fabulously wealthy area, very cultured area, very orderly, had very little crime, had some great towns and cities in it, and now so much of it is just devastated by equality, democracy, values that are not ours. And so the future of the South, it looks really bleak if we stay in this system. But we are a nation, and we need a state of our own.
Well, you know, national economic policies like free trade have led directly to the impoverishment of the South, and particularly the black areas of the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slavery, black slavery, was part of the, I think you call it seigneurial system. You can correct my pronunciation if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but you use that term in the book.
Right.
Throughout the Golden Circle, and through the period of time from, you know, several centuries before the American Revolution up till, you know, today, basically. But slavery was no longer needed with the advent of mechanization. That's why it ended throughout the Western Hemisphere by the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. In fact, I remember hearing an old farmer in Arkansas one time telling me that the American economy didn't know what to do with the black male ever since the invention of the three-row cotton picker. Now, I don't know if I necessarily ascribe to that, but now we have such a large welfare system that a large number of people are not working.
Mm-hmm.
The manufacturing jobs that used to support at least a semblance of prosperity in the South have now been shipped overseas. If we stay linked to a nation that has, well, a government that has these type of policies, I agree with you. I don't see much that is hopeful in our future, economically or otherwise.
Exactly. You know, you go to places like Atlanta or Charlotte and to much of the city, and you go there and you don't hear Southern accents. You see people from all over the world, but the actual people who built these cities. And the culture that, you know, we care about. And
don't you think there's a conscious effort on the part of the Solons of this society, the cognoscenti, to basically water us down? You know, it was Bertolt Brecht, the German communist playwright, who said in 1948, if you don't like the election results, replace the electorate. They're pumping in people from the third world all the time, and we're certainly getting our share of them down here, and that's going to be the natural result of it, I believe.
Yes, and, you know, Robert Barnwell Rhett, who, you know, I view as the father of Southern nationalism, he said that if we're true to ourselves, that a glorious future awaits us. And I think that's true. I really don't think...
And the converse is true, too. If we're not true to ourselves, an inglorious future awaits us.
Exactly. And that's the United States today. It's an absolute mess. You get people like Barack Obama ruling over you. And that's about as good as we can expect in this current system.
Well, you know, another thing that I drew from your book that was really interesting, I, like a lot of Southern boys growing up here, was fascinated by characters like William Walker, the gray-eyed man of destiny that tried to stage a coup in Baja California, did one in Central America, was captured and killed. The efforts by John Quitman, former governor of Mississippi, in a some type of Masonic plot to take over and annex Cuba. Tell us about that. There were efforts in the antebellum South to extend the borders of the United States into the Golden Circle, into the Caribbean, and bring those territories in as states. Is that a correct assessment or not?
That's right. And, you know, and there's precedent for that as well. If we think of the South beginning, or the plantation South beginning in South Carolina, and then where did the South spread to after South Carolina and Georgia? After going to the initial British colonies, it spread into Florida and Louisiana and Texas, which were French and Spanish areas, and areas that were familiar with the plantation civilization, and our civilization just spread there.
Stay tuned, everybody. One more segment with Michael Cushman right after this.
These messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397. One, two. One, two.
you see. Well, you know it didn't cost me nothing, but I wrapped it for you specially.
Hey, welcome back, guys. One more segment with Michael Cushman, checking him out at southernfuture.com. Michael, the book, of course, is Our Southern Future, Its Origin, or Our Southern Nation, rather, Its Origin and Future. You know, we were talking about some of the people who have written into the show, shown us support since the beginning of December, people from all over the country, indeed the world. Why would this book be of interest to people who are not Native Southerners?
Well, if they come from a post-plantation society, then it would definitely, it's written for them really as much as it's written for Southerners. If they come from Brazil or Venezuela or Cuba or anywhere like that. But I think there's also lessons in there for people just across the West about the failure of bourgeois values, the values that came out of the French Revolution. They've been an absolute disaster for the West.
We call them liberalism. Radical egalitarianism is the, I guess, the manifestation. And, of course, the South and the Golden Circle generally were hierarchical. Were hierarchical societies.
Exactly.
And this radical egalitarian model just doesn't work.
Yeah. It doesn't work, and it especially doesn't work where you have a multiracial society. In a place like Iceland used to be, or Finland was until very recently, places like that that are extremely homogenous and small, it takes longer for those values to really destroy society. But in a place like Georgia or South Carolina, we have a multiracial society. Those values really can, overnight, they can really just destroy a society.
It's like Benjamin Franklin's famous comment. He predicted the end of our Republican experiment, the American Republic, as soon as people learned that they could vote themselves money out of the public treasury. And that's definitely the trend that we have going with the welfare state in America, and particularly in the American South.
Yeah, and it's tragic. I mean, and we see it, in Brazil. Now they have a former communist revolutionary leading the country. In Cuba, they have an outright communist dictatorship. And here in the South, we're ruled over by, a black leftist who hates us, essentially. So in all of these post-plantation societies, we have civilization turned upside down.
In Jackson, Mississippi, for example, the white population left in droves. It's 80% black city now, and they had a black Marxist nationalist named Lumumba, who was the mayor until just recently. And that shows you what the future holds in store for us.
Yeah, it's so sad because Mississippi, if you go back to the 1850s, this is a very, very wealthy society. And the people who led that society were highly cultured. They spoke lots of languages. I mean, it's the opposite of what it is now.
Well, as we said earlier in the show, Mississippi went from the wealthiest state before the Civil War to the poorest state in America by the turn of the 20th century, all because of domination by people who basically hated our guts.
And that, I guess, is the message of the book. If we can find our origins to the South, not to the North, we can see that the values that have been imposed on us since the 1860s, and really since the founding of the Union, which was a disaster, it was a terrible mistake, we can see that those just don't work, and they especially don't work in a post-plantation society. And we can see from the model of Brazil and the Black Belt of the South, we can see exactly where we're going, and that's just absolute total destruction of civilization.
Well, I have one idea on this I want to say real quickly. Maybe Donald Trump will get elected, and the North will want to secede from the rest of the United States, and we will welcome them, we'll wish them Godspeed on that endeavor.
I wouldn't hold our breath, but hope does spring eternal. Now, let me ask you this, Michael. Anyone who tries to predict the future normally ends up being wrong, but if you could write the future of the South, how would the story end?
Well, we would see our people regaining a sense of national consciousness, and we would see efforts to resist the federal government in imposing a new population upon us, and we would see efforts at self-determination. And then we would see our people working closely with other surviving Western populations of post-plantation societies. And the Golden Circle could be our future as well.
You want to learn more? Golden Circle might be a term that a lot of folks aren't familiar with. You want to learn more about it? It's in the pages of this book, which I have written a couple of adjectives to describe, incredible and groundbreaking being the two. Our Southern Nation, Its Origin and Future. You've heard here for the majority of this hour, the vast majority, from its author, Michael Cushman. His website, southernfuture.com. You can get the book at through Arctos or, of course, Amazon.com. As well, if you want to get it retail. Of course, we are offering it as our fundraising incentive. That's how high on the book I was. I got the review copy actually before it was even printed back in August, I believe, and I wanted to make this our Christmas fundraising incentive. So if you want to support the Political Cesspool and get the book, a donation of $100 or more before December 31st, and it's yours, but you can also get it in other places as well. Michael, a parting shot from you. Anything we haven't asked that you would like to share with the audience?
Well, I just really want to thank y'all so much. You know, when I lived in Spain, I listened to Political Cesspool. It was great to hear a pro-Southern voice from a, you know, across the pond there. And I want to thank y'all for the support with the book. And, you know, just I hope the show continues. Y'all are fantastic.
Well, thank you, Michael. This is Keith Alexander. Let me say this to the audience. Michael didn't invent this term, the Golden Circle. In the antebellum period, there was actually an organization called the Knights of the Golden Circle. This whole concept had great currency in the antebellum period and has since been conveniently forgotten by Northern academics. You know, as I think it was General Wade Hampton said that he predicted that the North would write the history. They have written the history. Michael is bringing these old truths back to light, and we are much in your debt for doing that, Michael. I hope everybody who wants to pursue the truth will get a copy of this book and find out what the true history of America, the Civil War, and the antebellum period, and the post-Civil War period really was. Thank you so much for your help.
Well, I appreciate it, and I hope everybody donates $100 and gets a copy of the book.
Well, so do we.
Yeah, I hope it becomes a million seller right through our channel, yeah. Through our station's promotion.
Okay. You got that right. And folks, again, if $100 is steep, especially at Christmas time, we want you to do that. But if you want the book and don't have $100 to spare to us to get it, you can get it through Amazon.com as well. And again, southernfuture.com is Michael's website. Mr. Michael Cushman, everybody, big round of applause. Thank you, Michael. Well, Keith, that was great. I know Eddie got here a little early. You know, Eddie's on deck for his shift during the third hour. We're going to talk about the cuck Russell Moore. Somebody has written the most incredible article about Russell Moore that just complete. You know, we've talked for years about trying to balance our support of Christianity with our disdain for the religious establishment.
The liberalism that has found a home in most denominations.
In about five or six paragraphs, has said everything we've said in years worth of broadcasting. And it was just we're going to talk about that. We're going to celebrate Christmas, talk about celebrating Christmas in an anti-Christian country, which is what America is. Not the people, but the media and the government, of course. And Eddie and I are going to talk about Christmas and some other stories related to that in the third hour. But Eddie got here early for his shift tonight. He likes to come in a little early.
He came in locked and loaded as usual. He's got his 45 out here. And he basically did a tour de force in the last break. He showed us how to unload, break down, clean, and reassemble his gun period of time.
I said last week, Keith, in the third hour, I said every time Eddie comes into the studio, he brings his gun and his Bible. And I said, I've seen his permit for the gun, but I don't think he has
the state. And there's a third part of that we can't mention, too.
I said he doesn't have a license for that Bible yet, but we're working on it. Anyway, but Eddie is going to be on deck for the third hour.
He's got a concealed carry permit for it, though.
Yeah, for the Bible.
Right.
It's on loan from God. Well, Eddie's like Bill Clinton. You know, he doesn't just bring any normal Bible, and he brings one of these coffee table dictionaries in. But Eddie said he was sharing with me in the last commercial break that interview that you conducted, Keith, was one of the most informative that he's ever heard. And he really, you know, it does talk about some stuff that even we Southerners may take for granted or may have overlooked.
No, we really need to look. I was aware of this history peripherally, but then when I read this book, he just brought it all into focus. And it is absolutely the truth. It is the best compilation of this and a much-needed counterbalance to the typical history that you get.
I want somebody to buy this book right now. I want somebody listening right now who hasn't already contributed this month to go to our website. Show us the money, as Tom Cruise said in whatever movie that was in.
What was it?
Cuba Gooding Jr. was the football player.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire,
right,
that's it.
We want somebody to buy this book before we come back on the air with Eddie Miller. You go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, right now. $100 donation.
Educate yourself.
It's going out in the mail to you.
Best $100 you could spend getting this information is worth 10 times that
money.
Support
our show, support the network, and get the book. $100. Let's do it right now. Let's see who does it before we come back.
Eddie's we'll right the only back. Guy that I know that has a holster built into his Bible case.
We'll be right back.